Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, but please hold your calls for the time being, because, well, we have with us on the line Kathy Fosmark, and Kathy comes from a fishing family. I guess her dad and her grandfather and her husband, they're fishermen, maybe it goes back even further than that, but here on the Pacific Coast of California, there is an effort, part of the Agenda 21 Sustainable Development, elitist program to destroy fishing on the West Coast. And they've done everything they could to make fishing increasingly impossible. They've actually bought up many of the boats here. They've destroyed at least half the fishing fleet here on the West Coast, this fishing fleet that's been around here, for 75 to 100 years. But the elitists have a different worldview. Oh, they don't want people fishing. They want, of course, to be able to control the food supply. And if you can control the food supply, you can control the population. Exactly in the same way that they want to be able to control the water. You control the water, you can control the population. And, ladies and gentlemen, it's all about control. Well, let's go to Kathy here. Hi, Kathy. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, Dr. Stan.
Well, tell us what the latest atrocity is that is being perpetrated by our state and national government to destroy fishing here, the tradition of fishing, which I know you've been such an important part of it all your life.
Well, I've been involved in the fishing industry, and I say that as an industry, but there are small family businesses, people who own boats, and go out and basically fish to provide this protein for the public. And it's a local small boat associations up and down the coast that have been struggling to try to come to an understanding with different levels of government as to what we might be able to live under some of these legislation, some of the bills that have been passed, and how we can survive with the recent movement towards aquaculture and mariculture, as well as some of the new laws that have gone into place to protect the habitat and bycatch issues.
But are they really interested in the fish? Are they really interested in control and destroying fishing? Don't you think that they use all these things? Oh, we're so concerned about the sea otters, or we're concerned about the coho salmon. Aren't they really using this as an excuse to destroy fishing?
Well, I think it could be perceived that way. And I think that the downside of this is the fishermen don't have enough money to defend themselves. And they, in turn, as a result of push by large corporations to get into the business of fishing, well, not necessarily fishing, but aquaculture, and possibly to prevent themselves from having to decommission large oil rigs that are about $30 million to take down as a result, yes. And the laws that are hurting the industry right now, not necessarily environmental laws, they're not necessarily helping the habitat either, but they're hurting the industry, were written by the environmental community, most of which survive on oil company money. So it's difficult, large corporation money, not necessarily oil, but there has been few have put quite a bit of money into this. And some of these environmental laws are causing more restriction and overarching mandates that create a hardship on them.
Well, that's shut thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest today is Kathy Fosmark, who has been involved, her family's been involved in fishing for generations here on the West Coast. Her husband is still a fisherman, and of course they have a good boat, and they're surviving because they've got a fairly good-sized boat and getting ready to get out. But the people who have been fishing here really for generations in the Monterey Bay area now have come after under regulation after regulation after regulation after regulation, and they've made it so difficult for the fishermen that many of them have been, well, quite willing to accept it when the government moved in to buy up their boats. Now, what percentage of the fleet has actually sold their boats to the government? Do you have any idea, Kathy?
I'm not sure about a percentage. I know there were over 90 boats bought out by the federal government. Actually, it was on a loan basis that the remaining boats in the business have to pay the money back.
Well, now, of course, what happened to the boats then? What happened to them?
They're decommissioned and never allowed to be in the industry again. They can't go out and produce any fish. They're basically either stripped and scrapped. They're pretty much useless, unless they can be a live aboard. Someone could live on them. But a lot of the boats were beautiful vessels, and it was the ground fish fleet, the trawl boats that were bought out, that produce ground fish, sole, and, you know, the deep water complex fish that people eat, you know, people call reds. You know, and anyway, it has taken quite a bite out of the industry. It hurts mostly the communities and the buying stations and processors along the coast that depend on that fish to come in, you know, on a daily basis so the restaurants can have fresh fish. And then it, in turn, makes us have to import fish.
Well, of course, now, what's happening as far as foreign fishing? Is the foreign fleets still allowed to fish, or are they being decommissioned as well?
The foreign fleets are actually building up their fleet. Spain and China both have gotten into the industry quite in a large way. they're building vessels, and also Japan has a very unique system where they train people to fish. So our country is kind of going the other direction.
In other words, we here in the United States are destroying part of government policy, our fishing industry, whereas the rest of the world is building up their fishing industry. Why would you do anything that foolish or stupid unintentionally? And don't even answer that. We'll be back here in just a moment with our other stations on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest today is Kathy Fosmark, who really is sort of our local expert on what's happening as far as fishing is concerned. And Kathy's pointing out that here in the area where we live, they bought up and decommissioned about 90 boats, perhaps half the fleet, maybe a little more, a little less. And in this central part of California, as all up and down the coast, there is an orchestrated effort to destroy fishing. For the people who still have their boats, they pass new laws and regulations all the time to make it increasingly difficult to fish. Now, other countries are expanding their fleets and encouraging fishing. We're doing everything. Our government is doing everything they can to implement Agenda 21, and you only need to read Agenda 21 and the Sustainable Development Program to understand their purpose is to destroy our industrial base, to destroy our agricultural base, to destroy our mining base, and to destroy our fishing base. And the question is, why would we be trying to destroy all these things here in America, including fishing, when, of course, other countries are doing everything to increase their industrial base, to increase their mining base, to increase their agricultural base, to increase their fishing base? It just doesn't make sense, Kathy.
Well, there is an underlying reason, and most people on the, you know, up front feel that the environment is in, I know the commercial fishing industry really wants to protect the environment because we need to produce fish from that, you know, from the ocean, and no one knows more about that than the fishermen. But there is, the oil companies signed a contract with the government that they would, when they were through with the oil rigs and when they were, done pumping oil, that they would take them out, and it would cost about $30 million per rig to remove them. And there are over 30 of them in the Santa Barbara Channel and throughout the EEZ, which is called the Exclusive Economic Zone. And there has been recently closed areas to protect the habitat up and down the coast called the Rockfish Conservation Area. That was put in place. And that actually is to protect protect the fish so they could leave enough behind so that they wouldn't be caught and they would be protected in their own habitat, and that would resolve the bycatch issue. Then the essential fish habitat, there was a lawsuit from Oceana that created a situation where they had to put in areas of essential fish habitat and habitats of particular concern. In that movement last week, the Pacific Fishery Management Council was forced to choose a preferred alternative because the lawsuit was won by Oceana. And
now, who is Oceana?
Oceana is made up of 100 environmental groups.
All right, fine. So they've won a lawsuit, and what is that lawsuit effectively going to do, Kathy?
It will mean that they had to declare areas out in the ocean where fishermen could not go, and it would be protected from any bottom fishing. That means ground fish. And so
now, by ground fish, you mean what? Flounder, things that are bottom feeders, like maybe catfish, things like that.
Lynn cod.
Okay.
Yes, and most of the cod are all considered ground fish. Right. All the cod. And what that did was it meant that they had to protect the habitat in which they live. So they took every seamount and rock pile ridge and drew a line around it and called it essential fish habitat.
In other words, what they're saying is you can't fish in those areas.
That's correct.
Now, what about this idea of using the oil rigs to anchor massive nets so there'd be massive fish farms out there, you know, maybe a couple of miles every couple of directions, and so that these would be fish farms where the fish would be trapped and grown and then harvested. Is that really what this is really all about? Is it about leaving the oil rigs in place and using to anchor the nets, or what is it?
Well, yes, that would, in their mind, be a perfect place to do that. And Texaco Chevron actually has an ongoing project down at Hub SeaWorld where they're experimenting with nurseries to raise groundfish. And I know that recently there has been, over the last few years here in Monterey, there's been movement and there's been an ongoing experimental project here at Hopkins Marine Station to raise pin tuna. So what's happening here is that the oil companies, in cooperation with NOAA and NIMS, they're both cooperating with the large corporations instead of decommissioning these oil rigs and removing them at the large cost, that they could in turn use them for this large tuna pens and large groundfish pens. And what I wanted to just say a little bit about that is they declared in their essential fish habitat preferred alternative that they include these oil rigs, 14 of them, as essential fish habitat. So even though they're not natural to the environment, they've been claimed to be a protected area.
And are the environmentalists willing to go along with this?
They were there.
All right. I think what people have to understand is people of great wealth have been financing this whole environmental movement and using a lot of idealistic people to further their own goal. The oil companies and finance the environmental movement that eliminated the competition of nuclear energy for a period of almost 40 years. And now, suddenly, why the environmentalists are saying, gee, shucks, maybe we're going to have to have nuclear power again. Now, I'm all in favor of nuclear power, but you have to see how the environmental movement is utilized to carry out the programs that are really established by the elite. They've blocked nuclear power for 40 years, and now, suddenly, it's going to be all right to introduce it. Well, we should have had it 40 years ago. We wouldn't have had so many of the problems. We could have cheap electricity instead of running up the prices and exhausting the natural gas and burning coal and all of these things. We didn't have to do this. There was a logical solution, and the environmental movement has been used to block a logical solution for 40 years because I believe we have the finest environmental movement that money can buy.
Well, I think you're right, and I know everyone that has followed this closely a few years back. I mean, there's been an ongoing process here of this environmental movement, finding ways to, through media and letting people think that we have a shortage of fish. And I, you know, Sylvia Earle, I think, came here to Monterey and spoke at the Year of the Oceans conference to the public about, you know, the need to, you know, that fishermen were a thing of the past, I think was her exact words. But she works for Kerr McGee, who is a large oil industry people. And one of the things I think that I won't actually, I don't want to say that all aquaculture is bad. I mean, aquaculture in principle, it has to be used in very cautiously. In other words, looking at it as a whole, as a whole, the additional nitrogen, it has a, in the water that is emitted from these pens, there's a net loss of protein in creating net pen fish and raising them. And the thing is, the public are told there's a seafood deficit, so we, and that's why we have to import more and, you know, and they think we need to produce it ourselves by using aquaculture. But if you aquaculture a carnivore, there is a 2 to 3 times conversion ratio. It takes 2 to 3 pounds of wild fish to produce 1 pound of fish. Like a large tuna, it would even take more. It would be 5 pounds of feed, basically feed fish, that would have to be caught and fed to these animals. And it's for the white tablecloth community and not for the everyday people in the middle class.
Yeah, what you're basically saying, you're talking about fish farms where they're actually catching fish and then feeding them to the tuna so they'll grow to be big and fat. And do they give them additional vitamins and minerals and certain other things to get them to be bigger and fatter and get more meat on them?
Well, I know that in the case of salmon, which has been kind of controversial, that they do have a problem with viruses, and they do give them, or there's a lot of bacteria around where these fish live, and it has caused some problems where they have to actually give them antibiotics.
In other words, these are fish farms, and instead of having the fish go out to sea as normally and as God intended, why, now we're going to improve on it by growing them in fish pens. Is that right?
That's right. And then the large corporations are sponsoring the project with NOAA and NIST and in a cooperative way. Basically so they don't have to remove the oil rigs. But we don't know what happens, you know, in the offshore aquaculture here. We have never, they've never tried it before, but we do know what happens in nearshore. When they do aquaculture close to shore, we've had serious problems with it, and salmon is a perfect example. But if it's done responsibly and they assess the situation first, and, you know, if they don't rush to do this and rush into it without looking at all the variables and the cost factor of raising these animals, you know, I think that's something the public really should, I think it needs to be investigated before they go forward. But just to go back and let you know that the contract that was signed by the oil companies was that they had to remove these oil rigs to below the surface and return it to its original environment. And I don't know if you've heard of the Rigs to Reefs program, where the oil companies had proposed cutting them and removing and dragging them into a pile and making a reef. And the sport fisheries have supported that, and in fact it has been very successful in the Florida coast.
All right. In other words, what they do is they cut up the oil rigs. Instead of hauling them off some other place, they just sink them in, and then they, of course, they become a reef, and then the fish will tend to grow on them. And is this a good or bad idea?
Well, it isn't good if you're a trawler and you want to work in that area, but at the same time, it does provide an artificial reef where animals do live, corals, and basic, you know, other fish are attracted. And so it could be a good thing.
All right, fine. You hang on there. We're going to invite your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But there is an organized effort to destroy the fishing industry in California and throughout the country, and we have to ask why.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, the Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, the Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi.
Have you purchased or invested in gold and silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer. To find out if you've been taken advantage of, or if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you make a mistake that could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars, call the professionals at Colonial Resources. The call and the advice are free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and we're pleased to have with us our special guest this afternoon, Kathy Fosmark. Kathy, you know, as we look and see what's happening, we see this effort really to destroy the fishing fleet here. Now, is the same thing happening on the East Coast that's happening on the West Coast, you know?
As far as aquaculture, I think it is a federal movement, and it may or may not be. I know that as far as shutting down the industry and cutting back, and all of these laws are affecting both the West and the East Coast. I know that they have similar problems over there with closures, and it has affected them tremendously. They've also had a buyback program on the East Coast prior to the buyback program on the West Coast.
And so I think that people really must understand there is a master plan here. And if you really want to read it, it's in our Sustainable Development Syllabus, which is the summary of the Global Biodiversity Assessment Program, which is the master plan for the United States and the world. And much of this simply is an effort to destroy the financial infrastructure of the United States. Not necessarily the rest of the world, but the financial infrastructure of the United States. Part of that program laid out in the Earth Charter, where point number 10 calls for the redistribution of wealth within nations and between nations. Now, certainly, you wouldn't want to participate in the redistribution of the wealth of Mexico or Vietnam, because they don't have much wealth. But if you were living in Mexico or Vietnam, wouldn't you love to participate in the redistribution of wealth from the United States? And that's what it's really all about. And it's amazing, and the American people don't see how they're intentionally sending our factories overseas. They're intentionally sending our jobs overseas. They're intentionally destroying our fishing industry and our lumber industry and our mining industry. And these are the sources of basic wealth. And what they're doing, of course, is doing all of this as they transfer America's wealth and jobs and the future of our children to other countries. So what's going to happen, Kathy? There doesn't seem to be any way to stop this, or is there?
Well, I think the public becoming aware shows like this are very important, especially since the processes that are being used are eventually going to affect the public. And where, you know, where their product is coming from, and also whether they're able to go out and take their family out on a boat. Even if they have a sailboat, these marine reserves could very easily affect them. I can't say they won't. And the state right now is putting in the Marine Life Protection Act, implementing it, was paid for by the Packard Foundation, funneled the money through the Resource Legacy Fund, which is another 501c3, and it was paid directly to the state of California to implement marine reserves in closed areas. And that is going to displace fishing effort and displace people from being able to go in these areas. And they're going to be quite large. The area that they're doing, implementing right now is from Point Conception, which is just north of Los Angeles, up to the San Francisco area.
Now, by what are they going to mean? You mean you can't go into those areas as a private citizen or what?
That's correct. That means that no one would be able to go into a marine reserve. And they're assessing these right now, and it's completely financed by corporations. So my concern is the public is not aware. The public doesn't really have a say-so in this. They're doing it through consensus groups, and they're, like, you and I are being represented by someone else, whoever they chose to sit there. And those areas will be, all of this, the framework was drawn up, the corporations has a person on the there was a task force formed, Blue Ribbon Task Force it was called, and they in turn made recommendations. They chose the members of this consensus group, and that consensus group will make a decision on where these maps are going to be.
But, of course, is this voted on? Is this done by a legislature, by duly elected representatives? Or is it being done very surreptitiously by a powerful group who really are unconcerned about how the people feel? They have their own agenda. Would that be a fair statement to make?
Well, in a way, yes, because there's a five-man appointed commission that will finally vote on this.
But who appoints the five-man commission?
They're appointed by people in the government in the state, and would be through the governor and his people, and they would choose who sits on this five-man commission. That commission is now, it was originally just to look at recreational issues, and when the Marine Life Management Act went into effect in a few years back.
And well, I think it doesn't really matter whether it's Arnold or whether it was Gray Davis. The people with the big money make the decisions, and of course, their people are put in these positions.
The public doesn't have a choice.
People laugh at the idea that there is or has been the secret societies. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Hey, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Kathy Falsmark. We're talking about what's happening to the fishing industry. Now, those of you who listen to our programs regularly, and we talk about what's happening as far as the food industry is concerned, you find out, of course, that there is a conscious effort to centralize control over food in a few major corporations, to use genetic engineering to change the structure of food, to use Terminator seeds so that you cannot plant your seeds over and over again, and to bring control of the food supply, not only of the United States, but of the entire planet, under the control of a few people. Now, people say, well, but if it's more efficient, if the food's better, but the trouble is the food is not better. There have been experiments done with some of these genetically modified foods, and they're so dangerous that the people like Monsanto absolutely refuse, even to let the FDA see the full results of their studies. If there's nothing to conceal, why are they concealing it? And, of course, you say nobody would intentionally put out this, food or food products that would be harmful. And I would say, why not? We know what they did with Vioxx and Bextra. They knew they were going to kill people, and they put them on the market. They knew that the vaccines that contained thimerosal were harmful, and they put them on the market. They know that NutraSweet is responsible for the obesity epidemic and the diabetes epidemic and increase in cancers and the convulsions and all sorts of other things, and yet they're allowed on the market. We have the original studies that the government had. And, of course, we could get on into the fluoride situation. So And then I think we have to carry those over into what's happening to the food situation. And people find these things we're talking about to say, how could this be going on? Why aren't we hearing about it? Why don't we understand that there is a master plan? It's called the Global Biodiversity Assessment. You can get that at your local bookstore, published by Cambridge University Press, 1,152 pages. Of course, we do have it summarized in our sustainable development syllabus. It's about 40 pages and very easy to read, as they want, of course, to stop the cattle from grazing on public land. In fact, they think the cattle are terrible because they trample the grass and just destroy the grass and hurt the environment. Heaven's cattle been there for years, and before that there were horses and other things, but it is all part of an attack on the very structure of our society. Could that really be true, Kathy? Could there really be people who do have another agenda that are not being forthright with us?
I don't know. Being in my situation, it could look very much like that. And I think what it does is it scares the public into a misunderstanding of reality. And in the event of those situations, when you do that to people, other things occur. I mean, when you start shoving people off fishing grounds and you're displacing fishing effort, in other words, people aren't able to go where they usually can go and where it's safe and there's a lot of weather issues, you are displacing fishing effort and then people are looking at dedicated access privileges, like whether or not they're going to get to keep fishing, so they're going to want to make it so only they can. It forces other things. The issue with the pinfish, there's a huge question of invasive species that, you know, the environmentalists talk about all the time. But at the same time, these pinfish are going to breed. They're going to be breeding genetically modified fish. I mean, these are not natural. These are fish they took from the environment, but they've already mixed a salmon and a halibut and came up with a 500-pound salmon. And the concern is with the natural environment, these salmon will go up the river of where they came out of. They have natural instincts. And when you start messing with Mother Nature like that and one fish gets out, or one of these, you know, tunas, if they start doing the same thing with genetically altered tuna or any of these other species, we could run into something really problematic on the West Coast. And
you're talking about a 500-pound salmon?
Yes. That was a mix that someone came up with. But just, you know, in all fairness, I think we have to be very careful of what we support and what we wish for. And when, for instance, right now with fishermen not knowing where their future is, we don't see a lot of young people getting into this business. And it's a culture. It's something you don't generally learn in school here. So generally, folks have to teach it to their children who grow up in the business. And what's happened is we're losing the fishing culture on the West Coast, where people used to go down to the restaurants on the wharf and look out and see the small boats. They'll be looking out and seeing sailboats and yachts. So that's already kind of developed more so on the West Coast in tourist areas. But what the concern is when they go into the restaurant to eat, that's not going to be a fresh caught fish from their area. And there's no reason why this has to happen. I mean, people don't have to be scared into getting rid of the fishing fleet, because it's really a huge ocean out there. What's happening here is it's a huge land grab, and it's a movement to get rid of the competition, you know. And that's the way it looks. And I would say that the corporations don't fully understand that, or don't care to understand that fishermen have been there for many hundreds of years, have serve the public, and we're there for people that can't go out and get the fish for themselves. And there is a purpose for the industry, and unfortunately the corporations have other interests in raising their fish and doing their own thing. And now, I believe overall that the farmers share the same problem.
Now, is this the major oil companies who are going to be doing the fish farming? Who is going to be putting in these massive big pens out there in the ocean?
Well, the the large corporations that are funding this are mainly oil companies.
So the oil companies then are going to be putting out, going to really control then the fishing adjacent to their oil rigs. Is that right?
Right. Well, there's kind of a two-part thing here. They don't have to remove the oil rig that way because it'll serve a purpose. And the purpose it's going to serve is one that will generate funding. So not only will they save the $30 million from having to remove them, they'll also be able to produce fish.
All right. So this sounds, you know, from one point of view, it sounds pretty good. On the other hand, to destroy the fishing industry makes us increasingly dependent on just a very, very few corporations who will control the fishing here. But, you know, certainly the Japanese and the Vietnamese and the Chinese and the people from other countries, the Russians, are they going to be coming into our fishing grounds and taking the fish which formerly were taken by our fishermen?
Well, there is something, there is a clause in the Magnuson-Stevens Fisheries Conservation Act that governs our fishing area out to 200 miles that says if we do not produce the allocated amount of fish that are allocated to be caught, that a foreign country can come over here and catch and produce and apply for permits to produce our fish. So, in other words, by destroying our own fishing culture and our own fishing industry, a foreign fleet can come in, and they could probably work a lot cheaper than we can because we have to pay taxes when we deliver fish. We also have, you know, the cost of running our vessels and crew, and we're operating under U.S. laws and state, California state laws, where we have to pay unemployment and all the other stuff. So my concern is that, yes, that very likely will happen if we don't have a fleet to be able to harvest.
All right, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you're out there, we'd love to hear from you. But I think it's so vitally important that our listeners understand this is exactly what they're doing with the farmer. They're destroying the farmer. This is exactly what they've done with the furniture industry. They've destroyed the furniture industry and Thomasville Furniture. We got some almost 30 years ago when we moved into our present home. And Thomasville has just closed down in North Carolina. The whole furniture industry is closing down here. They can't compete, you know, with the products coming in from China. The same thing is happening as far as our the steel manufacturing, certainly even our automobile manufacturing is increasingly going to be moving overseas. General Motors is already opening plants in China, and they're not going to produce big cars, you know, to be used and to sell to the Chinese. They're producing them to sell here in the United States, so they don't have to produce here. But the average American doesn't understand what is really happening, that the conscious, organized effort, very carefully planned and truly diabolical, to impoverish our people. So it is going to have implications down the line. Once you understand what's happening, you'll understand there is a master plan, and it's going to affect every person listening to the program. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Well, Kathy, are the fishermen, are they beginning to organize to try to do something to get the truth out? Are they organized to try to do something to try to fight these big corporations who seem intent upon destroying the fishing fleet here, using government money to buy up the fishing boats so that then the corporation, and of course that's taxpayer money, and then the big corporations will be able to go up right along merrily along, subsidized in effect by why the government?
As far as the fishermen being organized, the industry has very little extra funding. They have organizations that they're working with, and the way and are organized is there's different sectors. We all have different gear types, and that process through individual permitting these groups has kind of segmented our industry. But we have in the local area, we've joined together with some of our local processors and our harbors, ports and harbors, and the fishing industry is trying to speak with one voice and try to protect and keep our small communities alive. And we've done that through an organization that came about in November of 2000. It's called the Alliance of Communities for Sustainable Fisheries. And we're just sort of getting a website off the ground. I'm not even sure if it's up yet, but people can contact me at swordstuna@aol.com.
Swordstuna@aol.com?
Yes. And I can give them the information on how to contact or how to get on our website as soon as we get it going. There's members from our organization that are working on the that are on the consensus work group for the MLPA.
What is the MLPA?
It's the Marine Life Protection Act, which is the working group that has a voice for the local community here on marine reserves for the state waters. And I myself sit on a couple of committees to the National Marine Fisheries Service Pacific Fishery Management Council, working to try to, and this was when the essential fish habitat, which was the area closures in that took in all the way out to 200 miles that I talked about earlier. So we need more voices in local government. We've been supported very nicely and with a lot of kindness from our County Board of Supervisors and our...
Are you speaking now over in Monterey where you live?
Yes, in Monterey.
How about in Santa Cruz? Have they helped at all?
Not as yet. I'm hoping as we get more involved here, it would be nice to have their support. We have given a voice to the fishermen in the Sanctuary Joint Management Plan Review, where the sanctuary is supposed to be, was put in place to prevent oil drilling out here. And it was looking at getting into fisheries management. I think the local area here could support no krill harvesting, because obviously krill is a feed fish for wild fish. There's a lot of things that are going on. For more information on the federal process, people can go on to pcouncil.org. It's the Pacific Fishery Management Council website, and see all the regulations that have gone into place to close and to protect the ocean for habitat and other reasons.
Now, have you heard these stories that certain people in fish and game have actually been killing salmon coming up the rivers because they say, oh, well, those are farm fish, so we got to kill them? Have you heard those stories?
A year ago, there was a lot of information about the killing the fish that were coming up the river. They had too many fish. We have a real problem with salmon management right now in the Klamath River especially. It's affecting our season. In fact, the commercial fisheries are closed off the coast of California presently and not allowed to fish in the month of June. And there's lots of fish out there because the hatcheries are operating, in full force, and we have perfectly full rivers in the Sacramento. But the problem is the Klamath, there was a drought, and because they managed to the weakest stock, and because the native fish, which is called the wild fish, they didn't feel there were enough wild fish returning in order to allow, or that lived through that drought process. And some of the water was diverted for farming, and there was some other issues there. So it caused them to shut the whole West Coast down at different times, but California got shut down for the whole month of June for just commercial only. Recreational is allowed to fish.
And is this because there was a problem up in the Klamath River?
Yes.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I think so too, but they signed a treaty back in the 70s that said they had to allow for 35,000 fish, which they called the floor. They had to return and live, and if there isn't enough, then they have to regulate fisheries to where they close what is called the areas in the coastal zone management area.
But if there's a shortage of fish, then why are they killing them? Why are they actually killing them and beating them and electrocuting them? Where is PETA when we need them? And we actually have videos of the fishing game, people actually killing fish, and I believe they want a problem, because if they don't have a problem, how are they going to justify all of these terrible things that are going on? As incredible as it may seem, there really are people out there who have actually ordered fish and game to club fish, to electrocute fish, to destroy fish, and then they say, why, look, we've got a shortage of fish. what madness is that, or is this really something far more diabolical? Do you have a parting thought for us, Kathy?
A parting thought?
Right.
Well, yes, I think that the public should support the local community, the fishing community, if they can, and understand that the environmental movement is really not as it seems. One should always look into things and not support the oil companies and the Pew Ocean Commission push to aquaculture fish offshore here until it's been totally analyzed.
All right, fine. Well, of course, we've jumped into genetic engineering as far as food, and well, we'll know maybe 20 years from now how many people are going to die because of that. We'll be back in just a few minutes to wrap up today's program. In the meantime, Kathy, I want to thank you very much for being with us. It's been a real pleasure, as always.
Thank you so much, Dr.
God bless. And one more time, get that email out.
Okay. SwordsTuna, SwordsTuna, at AOL.com.
Bye-bye. God bless.
Thank you.
A very important book is called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working within organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course we've been talking about just one aspect of the Sustainable Development Program. And the way you carry out sustainable development is through something called Agenda 21. Now, There is an agenda. It's a secret agenda. They don't want the American people to know what they're really up to. They do not want to understand that the American people to understand that we are under attack from within by our leaders whose loyalty is not to the United States, but to an internationalist dream, and that's why they're not closing our borders. That's why they're trying to do everything they can to have a bilingual society so they can play one group against the other. This is why we're transferring our wealth to other countries, and when you see this, it all begins to make sense. Now, there is a master plan. It's called the Earth Charter. You can pull it down off the Internet, or if you'd like a copy, we'll be glad to send it to you free of charge, or we hope many of you will want to get our Sustainable Development Syllabus, which contains the summary of the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report. There's nothing quite like that. It contains the Earth Charter. It contains the World Bank Water Policy. Have you noticed how we talk about the water shortage and see what are we going to do with the water shortage? And it's all part of a careful plan. Control the water, you control the people. And then, of course, you control the food, you control the people. And this is what the Global Biodiversity Assessment is. Control and destroy the fishing, control and destroy the farming, control and destroy the cattle industry, control and destroy the mining industry, control and destroy the lumber industry. Anyway, it's all there in the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report, and you can get this summary in the Sustainable Development Syllabus by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. There is a video that goes with that. There is a four-tape set that goes with that. You can get them separately. And, of course, if you get them together, well, you'll get a reduced price on that. You need to get the information. You need to get yourself educated. And then you have to help us educate others. If you'd like a free copy of the Earth Charter, and we want you to note specifically point number 10, why, we'll be glad to send it to you. Who wrote it? Why, the former head of the Soviet KGB. It is being put forward by the former head of the KGB, Mikhail Gorbachev. Marie Strong, who until recently was the number two man at the United Nations, and Stephen Rockefeller, Professor Stephen Rockefeller, Nelson Rockefeller's son. Because, of course, people of great wealth are behind this whole incredible movement. And behind that are the dark spiritual forces, which we write about in our latest newsletter. That's the May-June newsletter. You can get it on the Internet at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Go and pull down our May newsletter. It's the occult hierarchy. The occult hierarchy that rules the world, because behind everything that's going on are these spiritual forces. And you can get that at our website at RadioLiberty.com, www.RadioLiberty.com. Or, of course, if you don't have access to the Internet, we'll be glad to send you a free copy of that newsletter as well. And then, of course, to put these things into perspective, why you need to get our book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, or along with a video and audio tape for $29.95. And you can copy the video and the audio tape. The book will give you all the sources of reference so you can begin to understand how this whole thing ties together. And the truly Luciferian forces behind what's going on today. If you have a Bible other than the King James Bible, try to look up the word Lucifer in it. They simply remove that. Why? Because if you don't understand that there is a Lucifer, that he's real, why, you won't understand what's really going on today. And so they've simply taken the name out of the Holy Scriptures. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization. The great tragedy is most people don't even know a battle's going on. Remember, we do carry the Berkey products, and if you get them through us, well, you get a four-tape set or a video we produced, and we carry the Sanjian radios and the Robinson Homeschool curriculum. But please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty.